Beatles, Days in Their Lives.
The Days in Their Lives is an exclusive series using archives compiled over 25 years ago. In the last few weeks, we've heard from the people behind Beatlemania, the band's friends and family, and the Fab Four themselves. We've heard about the highs and the lows of being in the biggest band the world has ever seen. And now, the story continues. This is the Beatles, the Days in Their Lives.
The Beatles, Days in Their Lives. On City Talk 105.9.
Last time on the Days in Their Lives, despite having huge success with the album Abbey Road, the lads were drifting apart. They'd vowed never to tour again, and there were even rumours that Paul was dead. We join the story at the beginning of 1970.
This is City Talk.
On January 12th, 1970, an exhibition of John Lennon's lithographs opens at a London art gallery. 2 days later, the gallery is temporarily closed while 8 prints are removed for possible prosecution under the Obscene Publications Act. Later in the month, John and Yoko have their hair cut off and declare 1970 to be year one. On February 6th, Apple releases a new Plastic Ono Band record, Instant Karma, backed with Who Has Seen the Wind. The A-side, written and recorded in one day, is a powerful little rocker produced by Phil Spector and John Lennon. It's a typical Phil Spector sound, full of reverb with lots of vocals and a thick piano line produced by John at one grand piano, George Harrison and Andy White at another, Billy Preston on organ, and John and Klaus Voormann dubbing on electric piano. John and George Harrison play guitars, Andy White plays drums, and Klaus Voormann is on bass. Roadie Mal Evans is again asked to supply some claps and chimes and the backing vocal. The chorus consisted of all the people mentioned, plus Alan Klein and patrons from London's local Hatchet Club. It all added up to the unique sound. It was John leading us into the 70s after the post-peace-love era of the 60s.
It's like the Beatles singing All You Need Is Love, and I'm just singing All You Need Is Peace now.
And this Instant Karma that he just wrote, you know, is really like the second step from Give Peace a Chance. And Give Peace a Chance was sort of a simple message and came across right away. But Instant Karma shows that the getting peace is not just going to charity balls and such, but, you know, more on a sort of a deeper level to change your mind and all that.
Talks about never leaving rock and roll.
Trace John Lennon songs, you know, if you care to. And in fact, I never left it. You know. Yoko knows more about rock and roll than she does about present-day pop, because I talk about it so much. In between every Beatles session, I mean, in fact, on the Get Back album, there'll be one or two bits. Whenever there's a break, we go into rock and roll, you know, the old Good Golly Miss Molly, whatever it is. You know. And that's our era. We're already old folks talking about our, you know, those were the days, and that's what we're like already.
The B-side, Who Has Seen the Wind, was written by Yoko and sounded as if she was outside watering some plants and is in contrast to her husband's loud statement on the other side. On March 6, 1970, a new 45 RPM record is released on Apple. With all the rumors and talk of the Beatles splitting and their business situation becoming incredibly complicated, it's surprising the single got out at all. Supposedly, You Know My Name was to be the A-side, with a song called What's the New Mary Jane as the B. But with all the contracts still unsolved, the B-side could not be released. Finally, the title of their new movie was used, and You Know My Name was put on the B-side. There are a number of versions of Let It Be. The single was said to be just Paul playing all the instruments. He plays piano, John plays bass, George guitar, Ringo drums, and Billy Preston organ. The Mother Mary mentioned in the song is a reference to his mother. The hymnal quality is broken only by George's guitar break, which is very similar to Eric Clapton's in The Presence of the Lord by Cream.
In times of trouble, Mother Mary.
Side, You Know My Name, Look Up My Number, was recorded in early 1967 and features the late Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones on saxophone. Mal Evans helps on background vocals. Paul had recorded the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, and maybe the Beatles thought they could try something funny as well. They're good mimics, but the recording session could have been put to better use.
City Talk 105.9.
On March 27, 1970, Apple releases Ringo's first solo LP, Sentimental Journey. The album was exactly what the name implied, but we all thought Ringo had grown up listening to Elvis, Hound Dog Taylor, Bill Monroe, and Jerry Lee Lewis. What he had really wanted was a very expensive gift for his mom. When he told producer George Martin what kind of an album he imagined, George was, to say the least, dumbfounded. Ringo wanted the best arrangers in the world to put together a group of sentimental chestnuts. Material was arranged by Quincy Jones, Oliver Nelson, Richard Perry, Chico O'Farrell, Ron Goodwin, Johnny Dankworth, Elmer Bernstein, Les Reed, along with George Martin, Paul McCartney, Klaus Voormann, and even Maurice Gibb from the Bee Gees. Ringo's singing could not match the amalgamated talent, and so no one was really impressed. Certainly the pop fans were polite, but said, no thank you. Everyone else said that only a Beatle would have the gall or extravagance to do it. The cover picture is curious. It's the nearest pub to Ringo's home in Dingo, his childhood home in Liverpool. He may have heard some of the songs on the album there, but it was probably his mom's favorite place, and therefore strengthens the story that the record was for her. We hope she enjoyed it. Here's one track from Sentimental Journey. Ringo is singing Stardust by Hoagy Carmichael and Mitch Parrish.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend a song, the melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you. When our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration. Now my consolation is in the stardust of a song.
On April 2nd, Paul McCartney tells the British paper The Evening Standard, "We all have to ask each other permission before any of us does anything without the other three. My own record nearly didn't come out because Klein and some of the others thought it would be too near to the date of the next Beatles album. I had to get George, who is a director of Apple, to authorize its release for me. We're all talking about peace and love, but really we're not feeling peaceful at all." On April 9th, Paul appears in a 5-minute London weekend TV segment singing Maybe I'm Amazed. The next day, it's announced that Paul has left the Beatles because of personal, business, and musical differences. Apple press officer Derek Taylor says they do not want to split up, but the present rift seems to be part of their growing up. At the moment, they seem to cramp each other's styles. Paul has called a halt to the Beatles' activities. They could be dormant for years. On April 12th, a report in the New Music Express says Paul has formed a new company called McCartney Productions Limited, which has bought the film rights to the cartoon strip Rupert the Bear and is planning to produce and write a musical score for it. On April 17th, Paul releases his first solo LP on Apple. It's called McCartney. The unpleasant conditions surrounding the recording and release of the album, plus an infuriated public, gave the record a poor reception with critics and fans alike. It was recorded in Paul's house, just around the corner from the Abbey Road studios, on a Studer 4-track. Paul, of course, plays all the instruments on it, and his wife Linda helps on backing vocals. Paul doesn't claim much for the album, yet it contains a few good pieces. Here he plays piano, organ, guitar, bass, and drums. 1970, the Beatles released their last album, the original soundtrack to their movie, Let It Be. Right from the start, the project was in confusion. For the first and only time, the Beatles wanted to record outside the EMI studios. One of the throng of their hangers-on in those idealistic days at Apple was a Greek technician and self-proclaimed genius called Magic Alex. He suggested that they record on better equipment, and he would build a new studio in the basement on Savile Row with a 72-track tape machine. George Martin was using an 8-track tape machine at Abbey Road, so of course the Beatles were enthralled. But they had to begin the project before the equipment arrived, so the Beatles asked George Martin to install some mobile equipment. To this day, that 72-track machine has not materialized, along with many other of his brilliant schemes. The original idea was to make a film showing the group recording. George Harrison explains.
Really, we were thinking of how to do a TV show, but we realized it was much easier just to make it into a film. You know, it was a 16mm film, but it was so nice in a way it was very informative. It's not really nice for me. I can't stand seeing it. But for other people who don't know what we're really about, who like to go in and see our warts, then it's very good. We're down in Apple rehearsing, and we decided to film it on 16mm to maybe use as a documentary. And the record happened to be the rehearsal of the record, and the film happened to be, rather than a TV show, it happened to be the film of us making the record. So it's very rough in a way. You know, it's nice because, again, you can see our warts. You can hear us talking. You can hear us playing out of tune. And you can hear us coughing and all those things. It's the complete opposite to the sort of clinical approach that we've normally had. You know, studio recording, everything, the balance, everything's just right. And, you know, the silence in between each track. This is really not like that.
But getting up at 7 in the morning and recording at 9 with cameras rolling and people gawking was not what you would call a proper creative Beatle recording environment. There was no overdubbing or special studio effects, just a simple performance by the group in a studio for the world to see. The closest thing to a live performance. George Martin started the recording. Then Glyn Johns, who had been assisting George, was called back to let the Beatles hear the 30 hours of tape. They decided to shelve the project. But Alan Klein suggested that a large amount of Apple capital was tied up in those film cans and tape boxes, and Apple should do something with them. So Phil Spector, their old standby friend and wall of sound producer of the early 60s, was asked to make a sellable product of the tape. The result was a complete reverse of their original idea, with strings, brass, and choral groups overdubbed on various tracks. Between the start and release of the record and film were 16 months of apathy, argument, and altercation. As Alan Smith of the New Musical Express said, "If the Beatles soundtrack album Let It Be is to be their last, then it will stand as a cheapskate epitaph, a cardboard tombstone, a sad and tatty end to a musical fusion which wiped clean and drew again the face of pop music." When the album was released, it had already sold 3,700,000 copies in advance in America alone. It was the largest initial sale in the history of the American record industry. The first track of the new album was written and sung by Paul McCartney.
"I Dig a Pygmy" by Charles Hawtrey and the Deaf Aids. Phase one in which Doris gets her oats.
The second track was written by John and was one of the songs performed live on the rooftop of Apple, despite the cool January weather. At the end, you can hear John complain that he can hardly play the chords because his hands are so cold. ¶¶ I, Me, Mine was written and sung by George. George says I, Me, Mine is the ego problem, the eternal problem.
At this time, we were at Twickenham, and I wrote this song. It took 5 minutes just from an idea I had. I went into the studio and sang it to Ringo, and they happened to film it. And that film sequence was quite nice, you see. So they wanted to keep that sequence in the film, but I hadn't really recorded it in Apple with the rest of the song, so we had to go in the studio and re-record it.
This next piece was also written by John when he was a teenager in Liverpool. It's about a bus ride. John hatched many songs while riding on Liverpool's light green buses. In My Life was one. This is another.
We all used to sag off every school day, you know, and go back to my house, and the two of us would just sort of sit there and write, and Love We Do, and Too Bad About Sorrows. And there's a lot from then, there's about 100 songs from then that we've never reckoned, because they were all very unsophisticated songs. And that one, we always hated the words of One After 909. Baby says to travel on the One After 909. He said, move on, honey, I'm traveling on that line. He said, move over once, move over twice. Come on, baby, don't be cold size.
Phil Spector has said that all four Beatles heard and endorsed the final mixes of the album, but Paul adamantly denies this. You'd have to agree with Paul. Let's listen to the stark, humble sound of his sentimental, long and winding road before Phil Spector's additions. Song as it appeared on the album, with overdubbed strings, voices, harp, and extra drums.
The long and winding road leads to your door will never disappear.
This is not their last recorded work. It certainly lacked the enthusiasm, polish, and production expected of them. The Beatles on film and on tape here were not the cohesive musical group they once were. The internal disagreement and low morale permeated the project. And in some ways, it was a sad ending.
City Talk.
City Talk.
105.9. City Talk.
News from a different angle.
A black teenager has died in a brutal axe attack in Highton. It happened late last night as the 18-year-old was walking through McGoldrick Park with his girlfriend.
Anthony Walker was a boy who cared about community and did his bit to help his own community. He was an example to young people.
He was such a loving person, and he was always so helpful, and he'd be one of the first to volunteer to do things, and he was just amazing, just an awesome teenager.
I think Anthony was just like everyone's son or everyone's brother or your best mate. He was just that type of guy, so everyone can sort of relate, and also they can understand that we're just a normal family from Highton.
Why am I stood here in Highton telling you how a young lad had his life taken away from him because of the colour of his skin?
News from a different angle.
City Talk.
105.9.
The Duncan Barks Show. This week with Will Batchelor.
You are a bachelor.
Monday morning from 9. We're teetering on the brink of a recession, and everyone's telling you to tighten your belts and live simpler lives. Good. I agree. I think this country would be fitter, cleverer, and healthier than ever after a spell of economic gloom. It'd be like the war. Ask your nan.
Will Batchelor, filling in for Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9. Pete Price, Late Night City.
What people don't understand, I'm in a gang myself, and what people don't understand, that if we don't carry knives, man, we're going to get knifed. Do you know what I'm saying, Pete?
Pete Price, Late Night City.
Every single day, someone's getting shot, stabbed, food's going up, fuel and everything. But this government seems to be going on, and no one seems to be doing anything, please.
They don't.
Pete Price, Late Night City. City Talk 105.9. Roy Basnett.
Roy Basnett.
In the early hours of Monday morning, I'll be asking who got Liverpool right. There have been so many films, TV shows and books depicting the city, but which ones have been the most accurate? Plus, you're not doing that. What things have you been stopped doing by your partner or parents over the years? And being a Monday, Nick and Eva Speakman will be here with more motivational tips to get you going for the week ahead.
Roy Basnett, weekdays at 2 a.m.
on City Talk 105.9. Beatles, Days in Their Lives on City Talk 105.9.
On May 11th, 1970, The Long and Winding Road, backed with For You Blue, is released as a single in North America and sells 1,200,000 copies in 2 days. On May 13th, the Let It Be film is premiered in New York, and on May 20th, in Britain. On June 27th, it's reported in the British and American pop papers that a good quality stereo bootleg LP of the Let It Be studio sessions was on sale. It was titled Get Back to Toronto. On September 14th, Atco Records in America released an album produced by Phil Spector with Eric Clapton and some friends. It's called Derek and the Dominoes. On one track, Tell the Truth, George Harrison plays guitar. On September 25th, Ringo Starr releases his second LP on Apple Records, produced in Nashville, Tennessee, by legendary steel guitarist Pete Drake. This one is a charming collection of barstool country material, some written especially for the occasion. All of Nashville's great and famous session men played on the tracks. On November 30th, 1970, Apple releases George Harrison's third album, All Things Must Pass. It's put out just in time for Christmas, something the Beatles had failed to do for several years. And in doing so, it sold very well. The price was high because of the three records, but people bought it in the millions, and George made a literal fortune. The album was produced by Phil Spector and has a layered, expansive sound quite different from George's other recorded works. George had said the White Album was too long and should have been only one record. Some critics felt the same about All Things Must Pass. The session people included Klaus Voormann on bass, Ringo, Alan White, and Ginger Baker on drums, Procol Harum's vocalist and singer Gary Brooker, and members of Derek and the Dominoes. Bob Dylan was in during the recording and co-wrote I'd Have You Anytime with George. The session also included Dylan's If Not For You. The most famous track, in more ways than one, was My Sweet Lord, which became a number one hit worldwide and was said to be similar to the Chiffons' He's So Fine.
In many ways, a lot of songs sound similar to a lot of other songs. I mean, I wasn't consciously, you know, aware of that at the time, although when the record came out and got a lot of airplay and then people started talking about it, I thought, oh, you know, why didn't I realize, you know, because, I mean, it would have been dead easy for me just to change a note or so here or there, so I wasn't consciously going out to do that. But I kept trying to say to my lawyers, look, if there's any song that was My Sweet Lord was a cop-off, it was Oh Happy Day, because it was the spirit of that Oh Happy Day. I just loved that record. It was fantastic. I mean, the thing is, for me, I don't feel bad about it, guilty about it, because it'd be different if it was the only tune I ever wrote. I've written enough songs, and I've, you know, enough faith in myself, and I know the motive behind writing the song in the first place wasn't to go and steal some tune. So, I'm cool.
My sweet Lord.
In his book, I, Me, Mine, that Isn't It a Pity is about what happens when a relationship hits a down point. He says, it was a chance to realize that if I felt somebody had let me down, then there's a good chance I was letting someone else down. We all tend to break each other's hearts, taking and not giving back. The title track, All Things Must Pass, was George's attempt to do a Robbie Robertson type of song. About the lyrics, he says that it's the same message that has been written for centuries by mystics, philosophers, and even by Timothy Leary in his psychedelic poems. On December 11th, 1970, Apple releases John Lennon Plastic Ono Band. It takes the critics by surprise after his other solo efforts. It has no title on the cover, just a pastoral picture of John and Yoko sitting under a tree. On the same day, Apple releases Yoko Ono Plastic Ono Band with the same cover. John's album opens with funeral chimes, then moves into a lament about his late mother Julia. During this period, John had been going through Arthur Janov's primal scream therapy, and it shows in the way he wrote and sang this song.
Talk 105.9. The Beatles. Days in their lives.
We're all God, you know. I mean, Christ said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And that's what it means, you know. And the Indians say that, and the Zen people say that. It's a basic thing of religion. We're all God. I'm not a God or the God, not the God. But we are all God, and we're all potentially divine and potentially evil. We all have everything within us. And the kingdom of heaven is nigh and within us, you know. And if you look hard enough, you see it.
Love, in John's roundabout way, is a Valentine love poem to Yoko.
Love is real. Real is love. Love is feeling.
Had a depressed feeling to it. Nonetheless, it was widely acclaimed and welcomed. On the sessions were Ringo and Klaus Voormann, with a little help from Billy Preston and Phil Spector. John played all guitars and piano. On December 31st, 1970, Paul McCartney starts high court proceedings to end the Beatles' partnership. He issues a writ seeking a declaration that the partnership, the Beatles and Company, formed in April 1967, ought to be dissolved, and a receiver be appointed. On January 9th, My Sweet Lord by George Harrison is the top single record in America, and his new three-record set reaches the top spot on the album charts. On February 19th, Apple releases a brand new record from Paul and Linda McCartney. There was much questioning about Linda's writing credit. The Evening Standard reports that half the copyright is being claimed by McLenn Music Limited, and the other half by a company called McCartney Incorporated. On March 12th, the British High Court appoints a receiver to handle the Beatles' assets and also prevented Alan Klein from any further role in the management of the group's affairs. Also on March 12th, Apple releases a new single by John Lennon and the Plastic Ono Band, produced by John, Yoko, and Phil Spector. The peace movement took a hiatus as John and Yoko were pictured with upraised clenched fists and were adorned with Japanese riot helmets on the sleeve and ads. The song was a genuine cry for all the underprivileged. The background vocals were by Rosetta Hightower and a chorus of 44. Apple releases Ram, a new LP from Paul McCartney. Supposedly, Paul had recorded the album and was ready to release it, but heard George's All Things Must Pass and decided to go back into the studio again to work on it because he was so impressed with George's album. On July 30th, Apple releases Bangladesh, produced by George Harrison and Phil Spector. The single did moderately well, but fell short of the airplay and money that everyone thought the song would generate. And on August 1st, the Bangladesh concert is held at Madison Square Garden. The program was initiated and prepared by George and Ravi Shankar. The concert raises $255,971 for relief in Bangladesh. In August, John and Yoko settle in New York, and Paul forms a group called Wings. He says, before we settled down the name, we were nearly called the Dazzlers, with big sequin jackets and drainpipe pants. On October 8th, John Lennon and the Plastic Ono Band released the album Imagine. The LP, produced by Phil Spector, John, and Yoko, was less intense, actually pastoral in feel compared to the last effort. It was well received at the time and featured more of the melodic side of John Lennon. It was done during what some people call John's white period. White clothes, pianos, and rooms. The title track has become one of John's most well-known solo works, expressing a utopian future without war, greed, or famine, but with an underlining feel of futility. He even got the chance to sing it at the United Nations, showing a lot of personal power and sincere commitment. The song was originally inspired by Yoko's book Grapefruit. In it are a lot of pieces saying, imagine this, imagine that.
Imagine if the American army stayed in bed for a week and the Vietnamese army, or Nixon and Kosygin and Chairman Mao. Imagine it if the whole world stayed in bed.
Imagine that.
Fascinating and most talked about song on the album is How Do You Sleep? A nasty little number that John said was written to vent his anger after hearing Too Many People on the Ram album by Paul. He says it's not all about Paul. He was frustrated at the time and used him as the object of the attack. George Harrison plays slide guitar on the piece and therefore acknowledges John's sentiment. Just to stick the knife in a little deeper, the album package also contained a postcard photograph of Lennon fondling a pig, in the manner of Paul's LP cover, where Paul is holding a ram. On December 1st, 1971, Apple releases in the U.S. Happy Xmas, War is Over, by John Lennon, Yoko Ono, and the Plastic Ono Band with the Harlem Community Choir. John and Huey McCracken play acoustic guitars. Nicky Hopkins plays chimes, piano, and glockenspiel, and Jim Keltner plays drums and sleigh bells. The single took a year to be released in Britain because of publishing problems. John and Yoko wrote the piece together. John said, "We're just as responsible as the man who pushes the button. The idea that somebody either is going to give us power or has made us go to war or not made us go to war, that God in the sky is a separate thing, that we're separate nations, religions, whatever, as long as people imagine that someone is doing something to them and that they have no control, then they have no control."
So this is Christmas.
Under the Data Protection Act, your company could be at risk if you don't dispose of personal information securely. If your business deals with confidential information, you need Planet Recycling. As one of the Northwest's largest data destruction providers, Planet are fully licensed to shred and dispose of data securely and cost-effectively. Is your company protected? For a free survey, call 0151 922 6668 or click planetrecycling.co.uk.
A swift business story. Dave's got business documents to sign, and Dave's documents are on the desk in his office in Bootle, but Dave's away doing business in Derby. Thanks to a Swift Dispatch same-day delivery, Dave can do business in two places at once.
When it comes to business-to-business deliveries, Swift Dispatch is quick, reliable and secure. Call 0845 241 6666 now or visit swiftdispatch.com. Swift Dispatch, the award-winning courier service you can rely on. You know, I love Buffet Star. Delicious, mouth-watering, scrumptious, piping hot, healthy Chinese and Thai food. Eat as much as you like for under 6 quid. And talking of squid, don't you just love it pan-fried with lashings of salt and chilli?
Mm-hmm. Buffet Star. 60 delicious Thai and Chinese dishes to choose from for less than 6 quid. Buffet Star, Hanover Street, Liverpool, just round the corner from Central Station.
CityTalkJobs.co.uk is launching. It's a recruitment site entirely dedicated to placing the best people in the best jobs on Merseyside. So, quite simply, if you're recruiting, whether your company's expanding or you're just looking to replace, citytalkjobs.co.uk gives you access to the right people. There are many packages to choose from, and we can guarantee it's one of the most cost-effective ways to advertise the job you have on offer. So remember, if you need to recruit, you need citytalkjobs.co.uk.
Here in Knowsley, you can feel safer, because thanks to your help and information, crime has dropped by a massive 29% in the last year. From guns to drugs, with your support, we can keep crime off our streets. If it's important to you, it's important to us, and we will act on your information. So if you know about or are worried about gun crime in Knowsley, call 0800 458 1211. The Safer Knowsley Partnership, keeping crime off our streets.
If you're a homeowner or rent from a private landlord and receive certain benefits, here's some heartwarming news from Warmer Heating.
Under the government's Warm Front Scheme, you could claim £2,700 towards a new gas or electric heating system from Warmer Heating.
Even if you're not on benefits and you're 60 or over, you may still be entitled to a £300 rebate towards the repair or replacement of your current heating system.
Find out more. Call Warmer Heating free on 0800 377 7755 or visit warmerheating.co.uk.
1, 2, 3, 4. The Beatles, Days in Their Lives on City Talk 105.9.
Compiled from interviews over 25 years ago and exclusive to City Talk 105.9, this is The Beatles, The Days in Their Lives.
City Talk.
On January 10th, Apple releases a three-record set, The Concert for Bangladesh. The stellar cast includes George, Bob Dylan, Eric Clapton, Ringo Starr, Billy Preston, Leon Russell, Ravi Shankar, Klaus Voormann, Jim Keltner, Carl Rattle, and Badfinger. The six sides of the album are quite remarkable considering the amount of time they had for rehearsals. Ravi Shankar introduces the evening in a fatherly manner to make everyone aware of the purpose of the concert.
Friends, as George told you just now, they will be participating in the second part. The first part is going to be us playing for you on the Indian instruments, the Indian music. This is a type of music which needs a little concentrated listening. And I would request you to have little patience. I know you are very impatient to hear your favorite stars who would be in the second part. But we are trying to set the music to this special event, this historical program, which is just not a program as usual, but which has a message. And this is to just make you aware of a very serious situation that is happening. We are not trying to make any politics. We are artists. But through our music, we would like you to feel the agony and also the pain and lot of sad happenings in Bangladesh and also the refugees who have come to India. Thank you very much. God bless you.
The surprise of the evening and of the album is the performance of Bob Dylan, who delivered five of his classic songs.
I'd like to bring on a friend of us all, Mr. Bob Dylan.
And controversy over the monies made, which put a sour note to the project, which was intended as a generous gesture by all concerned. On February 8, 1972, Paul and his band Wings arrive at Nottingham University to ask if they can play there the following day. It becomes Paul's first live appearance in 5 years. They play to an audience of 700 students.
I think the only way I figured I could do it was by taking it back to where the Beatles started, just in the halls, and we charged 50p to get in, you know, which, like, we obviously could have charged a lot more, and we'd give the students' union a bit for having us, and it was just all very down-home, and we'd play poker with the money afterwards, and I'd actually pay the band physically, you know, 50p for you, 50p for... And it brought back the kind of thrill of, like, actually working for a living.
On February 21 to 25, John and Yoko co-host the Mike Douglas TV show for the week. During the week, John gets to perform with one of his idols, Chuck Berry. Needless to say, Mike Douglas will never forget the guest list that week. On February 25th, Apple releases a new Wings single called Give Ireland Back to the Irish. Paul, who was, to say the least, apolitical most of the time in public, surprised many with this strongly worded message. It was written by him in response to the killing of 13 people by British paratroopers in a Northern Ireland demonstration. Obviously, the song was banned on the BBC and got little worldwide airplay. It did, however, become number one in Ireland and, of all places, Spain. On February 29th, John Lennon's non-immigrant visa expires, but he continues to stay in New York to search for Yoko's child, Kyoko. The U.S. government refuses to grant him permission to stay, and his battle to live in the States commences. On March 17th, Ringo releases a new single on Apple called Back Off Boogaloo. Supposedly, it was about Paul, because Boogaloo was a nickname of his. The first solo singles by Ringo did very well for him, without ever really establishing him as a major recording artist. On May 12th, Apple releases a new Wings single called Mary Had a Little Lamb. In contrast and in reaction to the banning of Give Ireland Back to the Irish, Paul deliberately recorded a nursery rhyme. He said he was doing it for his kids.
One of my daughters is called Mary, you know, and I just happened to be singing a song, and because her name came in it, she perks up her ears, you know. So I happened to write a song like that, and she sings on it, yeah.
Later, Paul tells the New Musical Express, Mary Had a Little Lamb wasn't a great record. But the funny thing about it is we've got a whole new audience of young kids, like Pete Townsend's daughter. And on July 9th, Paul and his band Wings begin an exhaustive 7-week European tour.
It's a very new band, you know. And if you go and play sort of Britain or America with a very new band, you're really on the spot, you know. You've got to be red hot. And it takes a little time for a band to get red hot. You know, it's a question of, so it's almost like living together for a little while, bouncing off each other and stuff, you know. This is what we're learning to do on this tour, at the expense, I suppose, of the Europeans.
On August 30th, John and Yoko, along with Elephant's Memory and an all-star supporting bill, stage two charity shows at Madison Square Garden in aid of the One-to-One Fund for Handicapped Children. On September 15th, 1972, Apple Records releases Sometime in New York City by John Lennon and Yoko Ono, the Plastic Ono Band with Elephant's Memory and the Invisible Strings. It was a widely uneven and certainly unsuccessful record. Critically, it bombed, and in some cases, it was ridiculed, especially in Britain. John and Yoko at the time were involved and committed to various causes. It seemed they were going in as many different directions as possible without really understanding what they were getting themselves into. Although they were genuinely sincere in their feelings to help people, it became increasingly confusing for fans and foes alike. The album mirrors this situation. Yoko doesn't regret anything about the period. She said, "A lot of things happened. I don't think it was just us. I think that maybe the press blew it up a lot more because it was us." The track, "Woman is the Nigger of the World," was put out as a single only in the States. The statement and title come from Yoko in a magazine article. John said, "It was actually the first women's liberation song that went out. It was before I Am Woman. It was banned again, but it was talked about. It got the message across. The whole story is in the title. The lyrics are just fill-in. I felt the lyrics didn't live up to Yoko's title." Side 3 was recorded at the London Lyceum in 1969.
Hello.
This was when John and Yoko joined George Harrison and Eric Clapton on the Delaney and Bonnie tour. The side features Eric and George, Billy Preston, Nicky Hopkins, Klaus Voormann, Jim Gordon, Alan White, Keith Moon, Bobby Keys, plus the whole Delaney and Bonnie band and entourage.
This song's about pain.
Was recorded during a Frank Zappa and the Mothers performance at the Fillmore East in New York. John and Yoko strolled on stage unannounced during the encore.
"Hey, sit down and cool it for a minute so you can hear what we're going to do. And for those of you in the band who have no idea what's about to happen, this is an A minor, and it's not standard blues changes. But it's close.
This is a song that I used to sing when I was in the cabin in Liverpool. I haven't done it since, so..."
Performing "Baby, Please Don't Go," a jam ensued in which Yoko crawled into a large sack with a microphone, screaming and moaning. Then, one by one, the musicians left the stage, leaving Yoko alone to feedback and an audience yelling and chanting. On December 1st, Apple releases a new Wings 45. It's called "High, High, High," written and produced by Paul and Linda McCartney. It became the second song by McCartney to be banned by the BBC. They said, "We think the record unfit for broadcasting because of the lyric, which might be taken to endorse the use of drugs."
"We're gonna get high.
Also in March, the U.S. Immigration Bureau sent down an order for John Lennon's deportation due to his drug conviction in Britain back in 1968. On March 23, 1973, Paul McCartney and Wings release a new single on Apple, "My Love," backed with "The Mess." The song is another McCartney ballad in his successful tradition. Maybe not as good as some, but still it became a large and popular song for him. Written for and about Linda, it captures all of his sentimentality and melodic structure. The only break in the formula was Henry McCullough's biting lead guitar solo in the middle. On April 16th, the James Paul McCartney TV special is shown on American television. On April 20th, Apple releases The Beatles 1962 to 1966 double album package and The Beatles 1967 to 1970, also a double album package. 54 classic Beatles songs, plus one additional instrumental by George Martin and orchestra. On May 4th, Paul McCartney and Wings released the LP Red Rose Speedway on Apple Records. The production on this new album by Paul was far superior to some of his former efforts and paved the way for his next LP. Paul's bass playing is superb and his arrangements are good. The songs were simple and enjoyable. On May 11th, Paul and his band Wings begin their first major British tour, the first scheduled tour by an ex-Beatle since the group's last appearance together back in 1966. On May 25th, George Harrison releases a new single on Apple. Sounding a lot like his friend Bob Dylan, it features some more of George's slide guitar. Then, on June 22nd, Apple releases George's new album, Living in the Material World. Though the LP was full of great performances, many people were turned off by its preaching. In June, Alan Klein sues John Lennon for $200,000, but John is too busy fighting the U.S. deportation orders to take much notice. On June 1st, Apple releases Live and Let Die by Wings. It was written for the James Bond film of the same title by Paul. George Martin helps him arrange and produce the session. The reggae section in the middle has to do with the location of the film, and it gave Paul a chance to prove again he could capture the feel as well as any non-Jamaican musician.
Say, live and let die.
In June, Yoko is quoted as saying, "People were offended when I married John. I think it would have been very different had I been an English girl."
One, two, three, four.
The Beatles, Days in Their Lives.
Next time, in the final part of the Days in Their Lives, Paul McCartney's Wings go from strength to strength with the album Band on the Run, and the others are all enjoying working on individual projects until that fateful evening on Monday, December the 8th, when the dream was over for good.
Former Beatle John Lennon, who was 40, was shot and killed outside his luxury New York apartment last night.
The Beatles, Days in Their Lives. On City Talk 105.9.